Trump administration has hundreds of political jobs to fill. The U.S. Postal Service wants the president to line up some of its new hires ASAP. In particular, the Postal Board of Governors is totally vacant. The last member stepped down at the end of last year after his term expired. The Senate hasn't confirmed a new board member in nearly 7 years. So where does the Postal Service go from here? The Postmaster General, Megan Brennan, has some ideas, and Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman is here to share some of them. And Jory, we usually read you online at federalnewsradio.com, and now we hear you on 1500 AM. Welcome to the show. What sort of situation is the Postal Service in right now?
It's good to be here, Tom. Postal Service is in a situation that a lot of other federal agencies are in right now. President Donald Trump has his full cabinet in place, but the White House still has to name almost 500 people to serve some pretty big leadership roles. And that's the same case as the USPS Board of Governors, which may not seem like the obvious place to start, but they could really use the help. It's supposed to have 9 members, but right now it doesn't have any. And think of them really like a board of directors at a private company. They play a big role in deciding the business future of the Postal Service. Megan Brennan is the Postmaster General. She says that the temporary emergency committee that's in place right now that she's running is keeping the lights on, but they're not making any big decisions for the future.
The Postal Service and the American people are best served by a fully constituted board with highly qualified governors of diverse perspectives and experiences who can serve the public interest. It has been more than 7 years since a new postal governor has been sworn in, and we are currently operating with 9 vacancies. We encourage the administration to nominate postal governors, and we ask that the Senate act swiftly on those nominations. However, until such governors are appointed and confirmed, we will continue to ensure the efficient operation of the Postal Service through the temporary emergency committee and to exercise any of the board's powers that are necessary for continuity of postal operations.
That was Megan Brennan, the Postmaster General.
And Jory, how is the Postal Service holding up financially? Have they had any good reports since we can remember?
Well, Tom, it's actually been in some pretty dire straits for some years now. Since 2006, it's had to pre-fund the retirement benefits for postal workers well in advance. And it's not the bill-as-you-go system that most federal agencies have. And right now, it just ended its second quarter with a $562 million net loss. And on the revenue side, things aren't any better. Last April, the Postal Regulatory Commission rolled back the 2-cent increase on postage stamps.
I could never figure out why they did that. I guess they said it was temporary in the first place and kept their word.
Well, they had that in place to hold back some of the burden that they had from the Great Recession. That may not seem like a lot, that 2 cents, Tom, but it really starts to add up. And they're saying without that increase, that they're losing $2 billion in revenue every year. And to make things worse, the Postal Service keeps on losing first-class mail volumes, which is the biggest driver of their revenue. Joe Corbett, he's the chief financial officer at the Postal Service. He said that the mail volume this quarter was even lower than expected.
While we were forecasting higher volumes and had staffed to this expectation, we are addressing these mail declines by aggressively managing our work hours while balancing and fine-tuning the resources needed to accommodate growth in packages and to optimize customer service. We have seen significant reductions in work hour growth relative to the same period last year, especially in the second half of this most recent quarter and into and throughout April. Dave Williams, the area vice presidents and all, have really caught on to this and really are driving the hours out and becoming more and more efficient every week. However, even with continued aggressive management actions to innovate and improve operational efficiency, the Postal Service cannot overcome systemic financial imbalances caused by legal and regulatory constraints.
That was Joe Corbett, the chief financial officer of the Postal Service.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman. And Jory, what can Postal Service or what do they think they can do now to climb out of this hole they're in?
Well, right now, there's really a lot of it that's just out of their hands. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee recently passed a major postal reform bill, and the Postal Service is really pushing to see that bill get to a full House vote. Jason Chaffetz, the committee chair, is also the bill's sponsor, and he's pretty invested in this. At a White House meeting in February, Chaffetz even briefed President Donald Trump about the postal reform bill. And what's more, all 4 of the major postal unions have come out in support of this bill, which is a first. Here's Postmaster General Megan Brennan again, describing what the bill would mean for the Postal Service.
As currently drafted, the bill addresses important needs of the organization and will achieve approximately $29 billion in combined cost savings and revenue generation over the next 5 years. Among the key provisions, the legislation requires Medicare integration for all postal retiree health care plans. This enables us to implement a private sector best practice by fully integrating the health care that we provide to our retirees with Medicare and eliminates approximately $50 billion in retiree health care liabilities. The legislation requires that our pension obligations are calculated based on postal demographic and salary growth assumptions, instead of demographic and salary growth assumptions for the entire federal workforce. The bill also restores half of the exigent price increase and allows the Postal Service to provide non-postal products and services to state, local, and tribal governments. Enactment of this legislation as currently drafted is necessary to put the Postal Service on firmer financial footing.
That was Postmaster General Megan Brennan.
What are some of the obstacles this postal reform bill might encounter, Jory, especially with Chaffetz stepping down?
Well, it's been smooth sailing, but this bombshell about Jason Chaffetz potentially leaving before the end of his term at the end of 2018, it might gum up the works a little bit. There's still some major representatives on that committee, like Mark Meadows of North Carolina and Jerry Connolly of Virginia. They've been in the weeds on this for quite some time now, so there's still some leadership there, but this could still potentially derail things.
So it's up to Connolly then and Meadows maybe to pick up on this bill if they like it and endorse it and carry it even without Chaffetz.
Sure, but at this point we still don't know even who's going to chair the committee after Chaffetz.
Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out his coverage online at federalnewsradio.com.